To the frustration of many parents, there is little difference between the stereotypical teenager and the real one. One wrong statement can be twisted way out of context. Monosyllabic grunts are the chosen form of communication, and topics that were once completely acceptable can lead to hours-long silence. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Diane Charles, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Judy Marzullo, a social worker with Young Parent Services for Loudoun County's Department of Social Services. Hello, Judy.
Hi, Diane.
Am I a little on target with what I just said?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right on target, Diane. When teenagers are attempting to distance themselves from their parents, they actually need to be even more involved in their lives. After all, this is the last chance for parents to help their teens become a responsible, mature adult before going to college, moving out, or starting their own life.
Mm-hmm. Join us on Parenting Today as we discuss how parents of teenagers can improve their positive communication skills and improve relationships with their children.
It's really important to know the power of your words. The teenage years are often a very emotional and confusing time in a person's life, so the understanding of a parent who has already gone through this stage of life can help matters greatly.
That's right. So what can parents do to ensure that the communication barrier does not get too out of hand and hinder the guidance that clearly needs to be provided?
There are several things a parent can do during a conversation with a teenager to help maintain a higher level of communication. An important thing to remember is that it's normal for communication to decrease during adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the situation does not get out of hand, you can find relief that this is something all parents of teens are likely going through.
Right. Yet following some tips that we would like to share today may help keep the conversations more open. Let me start off. First of all, it's best to give the teen your full attention. They will know that you are actively listening to what they're saying if you're not folding laundry while they tell you about their day.
Yeah, and if at all possible, try to be physically close to him or her and get away from other distractions like a TV. An example of an ideal situation is to talk to the teenager while driving somewhere. I've found with my experience, especially with my work, that you've got a captive audience.
Absolutely.
And teens hate silence.
Good point. Also, try doing things with the teen instead of doing things separately. Even if he or she frequently rejects your ideas, go ahead and keep the invitations coming. It may be especially helpful if you offer to do fun, casual things that the teenager enjoys doing.
And they have a slightly higher likelihood of accepting an invitation if they're allowed to bring along a friend.
That's right. That's right.
Once you're in a conversation with the teen, listen to what he or she is saying and feeling, and try to figure out where they're coming from.
Right. You don't have to agree or disagree with what they're saying. Just listen and try really hard to understand. You can show that you're listening by repeating their feelings. For instance, you could say, I know that you want to go to the mall now, but you can go once you've finished your paper.
Yeah, this way the teen at least knows that you're not just saying no,
right,
but that you've actually heard what their desire is and the steps that must be taken to get there.
Many teens will literally tune you out if you only talk to them when you have a lecture or a specific point to make.
Yeah, you need to show your desire to communicate with them just for the enjoyment of conversation and willingness to attempt to see the world through their eyes. It's best if you keep the topic focused on their interests.
Yeah, like ask them about their day or things they like. This is going to show them that you care about their ideas and their experiences.
And it's also better to bring up their successes or accomplishments rather than always focusing on their mistakes and failures.
Right.
If the teen expects to receive a negative message whenever you talk, they will start avoiding you more and more.
That's right.
However, if you stay positive and take the time to notice good behavior, it's far more likely that they will be willing to talk to you.
When you're commenting on something that they've done well, this is where those you statements are a great way to express that. For example, compliment them by saying you did really well on your history project. However, when you do have something to bring up that upsets you, use the I statement. Say something like, when you missed your curfew, I felt angry and worried.
Yeah, and you should also avoid repetition. Many teens feel that their parents make the same comments, give the same lectures over and over, so they'll tune you out after the first time. Rather than repeating yourself, set up the consequence of not listening to the instructions the first time and follow through with the redirection if the teen does not comply.
It may also work to offer an incentive for listening. This way, the teen knows the punishment he or she will receive for not doing the task and the reward for doing it.
Yeah, and overreacting is another common mistake mm-hmm. that parents make, and the teens are expecting it. In fact, oftentimes teens will say something specifically to goad the parents into a reaction. So reacting is basically rewarding poor behavior.
If you have just tuned in, you might know that we are talking about talking to teens and focusing on positive communication. You just heard from Judy Marzullo. Judy is a social worker with the Young Parent Services for Loudoun County's Department of Social Services. And I'm Diane Charles with SCAN of Northern Virginia, and this is Parenting Today. And we're just talking about some tips that parents may want to consider when interacting with their teens. And Judy's point about overreacting is something that you really want to be careful about. So to prevent this, you want to think about your response before you give it and really try to choose your words wisely. Rather than immediately telling the teen how wrong he or she is, calm down and start talking to them about their seemingly inappropriate plans.
Yeah, show interest and talk it out with them. And if the plan is poor, as it originally sounded, they will actually realize it as they walk through things with you. For example, if teens say they want to run away, ask them about their plans for money and a new home.
Remember to sound like you're truly interested rather than trying to trick them. More than likely, they'll realize the flaws behind their decision without you having to, directly tell them.
Yeah, you should also choose your battles carefully and try to avoid power struggles.
Yeah, good point. Finding a compromise is always better than arguing. If you let the teen be involved in making decisions and establishing consequences for his or her behavior, they will definitely be more open than if they're just listening to a scolding.
Definitely. And when redirecting the teen, don't talk about them in a negative way. After all, it's their behavior and not really the teen that you have a problem with.
Yep.
Instead of saying, "You are ungrateful," try using, "It makes me upset when you talk to me that way." This is a lot less accusatory, so they are less likely to become defensive and more upset.
Good point. Also, another suggestion, along with overreacting, asking too many questions, which I know I can fall in that category, is another issue parents often encounter when communicating with their teen.
Yeah, and while it's important to be aware of what's going on in your teen's life, and while they seldom provide this information voluntarily, asking a series of questions is another way to shut them down. You should ask one open-ended question to begin with and allow the teenager to elaborate.
Their answer will either divulge more pieces of information that you were intending to discuss, or it could lead to another question. However, this question has come up naturally through the content of the conversation, so then your teen is less likely to feel as though you are prying, but rather you will convey a genuine interest and respect for them and their perspectives.
Yes, and it's also important to know the power of your actions. While these verbal tips that we've just discussed may go a long way, there are also many nonverbal things a parent can do to keep the channels of communication with a teenager open. Like using an upbeat tone, for example, holds attention a lot better than a pessimistic one.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a very good point. And as in most situations when we're communicating with people, eye contact is a great way of showing that you're interested in what is being said.
Absolutely. And smiling also helps the teen feel more confident in what they are telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Open gestures like leaning forward and nodding are more inviting than gestures like pointing your finger, crossing your arms, and putting your hands on your hips.
That's for sure. Physical contact is still very important, even though the teen may want to be asked permission first. You can take their hand to console them, give them a pat on the back when they deserve praise. Hugs, of course, are appropriate in either situation. These touches convey unconditional love that does not fade with age.
Above all, show respect for your teen and give them the space and guidance to experience their growing need for independence while remaining open and available to them.
The teenage years are hard for both parents and kids. But keeping some of these important tips in mind that we've talked about today will help you understand how your teenager might be interpreting some of the things you do and some of the things you say.
Being aware of how they perceive certain situations and altering your statements accordingly can make a huge difference in the quality of communication you and your teen have.
Remember, all aspects of parenting can be tough, but finding help doesn't have to be. Don't be afraid to ask for help. For more information about communication with teenagers and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org. You've been listening to Parenting Today with Judy Marzullo, a social worker with the Young Parent Services for Loudoun County's Department of Social Services, and I'm Diane Charles with SCAN of Northern Virginia.